Blog Talk Radio.
Your station is Blog Talk on your spiritual digital dial. Your program, The Old Ship of Zion. Your host is Senior Pastor Janice Ward of God House Deliverance Pentecostal Ministry in the Peninsula Sector of California. We have a toll-free number available for our listeners. 877-598-8654. We welcome your calls and your comments on the air. We are so delighted to come into your work area, your living rooms, your automobiles, or wherever Blog Talk Radio finds you. We are entering into our first week of March, the 6th, 2013. And we just thank you, our continued listeners out there in digital radio land. We are just so thankful to you for just taking out your busy schedule to listen in to the Old Ship of Zion. And we just thank you for your patronage. And may God richly bless and keep you. Now we, as we always say each week that we're on the air, we have now started implementing prayer before the start of our program. And I would like for you that would bow your heads in prayer with me. Father God, we thank you for just enabling us to gather here again as a multitude around the spectrum. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for all your mighty acts of kindness that you have just showed to us just so freely, God, without cause. We thank you, God, for just watching over us as we travel to and forward to our various destinations. God, we thank you for keeping our families safe. And we thank you, God, for keeping all hurt and harm at bay. And Lord, we're asking you, Father God, to come in on this radio program on tonight. And God, I'm not asking that my will be done, but that your will through me be done, God. And that you would use these lips of clay, God, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to a soul that might be hurting, God. Think that there is no one out there that cares, God. For we know that you said to cast all of our cares upon you, for you care for us. And Father God, we know that you can do anything but fail. And Father God, but we do know that there is one thing that you just cannot do, and that is lie, God. For the word of God declares, God, that you are not a man that you should lie, nor a son of man that you should repeat. So, Father God, we know that when you say nay and yes, you stamp your approval upon us. And we thank you, God, for everything small and great, God. And we ask you, God, to just come in and move as no one else can do like you can do, God. And that is show up and show out. And I just want you to just get your good seat. Get your comfortable pillow to put behind your posture as to make you comfortable. And I just want you to help to enjoy the Lord with me on tonight. And as I first stated, Father God, I thank you for everything that you have done in my life, God, and in the lives of the saints of God. And Lord, we ask you unto these blessings and other blessings, we give you thanks in Jesus' mighty name, and we shall all say amen and amen. We will go right on into our theme without any further ado. And our title of tonight's sermon is Jesus has escaped and still at large. Now, there were those Roman men that had sought out to look for our Lord and Savior after his burial on the third day. He had escaped from the grave, and his whereabouts is unknown unto the Son of Man. We will search out the Word of God to find out where Jesus has been since his breakout to freedom. And we find again that Jesus once again predicts his death and resurrection. And we read where the Word of God says that then they departed from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he told his disciples and said to them, "The Son of Man been betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after he is killed, he will rise the third day." But they did not understand this thing and were afraid to ask him. Jesus, a third time, predicts again his death and resurrection. How they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going before them. And they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. Then he took the 12 aside again and began to tell them the things he would suffer, as well as the things that would happen to him. "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and scourge him, and they, hallelujah, and they will spit on him, and they will kill him. But hallelujah, on that third day he will rise again." We will go in depth and give an account of the reason Jesus died for you and I. We will give an account of God's resurrection into where the grave could no longer hold him. And we will also give a final analysis of the whereabouts of Jesus. So we ask you to just keep on listening in, if you will. I'm going to break it down as I know it to be. "I will are immense important to Satan. In this world system, he is the prince of enticement. He is the prince of temptation that subjugates the will of an individual to materialism, overeating, substance abuse, sensuality, what makes people continue to charge items when they cannot afford them, what makes people engage in substance abuse at the expense of their job, what makes people become addictive at the expense of their health. Why would an individual engage in sexual relationship outside of biblical described boundaries at the risk of sexual transmitted disease and the destruction of one's marriage? This world system is designed to be so overbearing and discouraging that one's will to live in a holy manner will be bent and broken. But our will are extremely important to God. Jesus demonstrated to us that God, our Father, has a will for our lives. It is not always what we would like to see take place in our lives, but we can be assured that God's will is the best for us. Twice within chapter 26, we find that our Lord closes his prayer by submitting his will to the will of his Father. If we are attentive to the circumstances and to Jesus' prayer during this crucial and strenuous time in his life, we shall find the answer to this anxiety we experience during difficult decisions in our lives. God does not force his will upon us. but allows us to maintain the integrity of free will. The choice to submit to the will of God has to be of one's own free volition. The world attempts to dominate and forces its will upon humanity through a multitude of ways, but the Lord allows each person to choose his way or the world's way. We are allowed to say, "Thy will be done," as we are given grace and strength to choose God's way. We have concluded that in the law of Matthew's gospel, recording two final words of permission spoken by Jesus. After his resurrection, he gives the first command to the two women to discover the empty tomb. "Be not afraid. Go and tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall see me." The law of Matthew 28 and 10. It is an invitation to take courage in proclaiming that Christ is alive and waiting to commune with those who will seek him. The second word, known as the Great Commission, authorized the 11 to make disciples, baptize, and teach. A definitive display or statement of God's power accompany both commissions. The commission out of the oneness began with an earthquake, the appearance of angels, and the removal of the stone from the door of the tomb. Jesus' subsequent commission to the 11 flows out of this declaration that possesses universal power. "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore." We read down the verse 18 to 19, reads like this. In both cases, the exercise of this supernatural authority is accompanied by comforting words of assurance. "Don't be afraid. Surely I am with you." Hallelujah. Two specific words of commission direct the followers of Jesus Christ. The first is "go," which signifies that true discipleship is a dynamic existence characterized by energetic initiative. The second is "tell." Jesus' followers must tell people how to meet Jesus and then how to develop a ministry of inviting people all over the world to experience repentance, forgiveness, and discipleship. Jesus' promise of his abiding presence extends to each generation of commissioned disciples. "I am with you always, to walk with you, to work with you, to encourage and build you up as you teach others in Jesus' name." Could you consider the people who callously passed by the Savior as he hung on the cross, how heartless they were? But before we rush to judge them, let's remember that many are still going in today. They fall into three groups. Those who want a cross without Christ, it's possible to reveal a symbol without the Savior. Some may clasp in their hands a miniature cross made of wood or gold, but that emblem will never atone for even one sin. It is Christ alone who redeems our souls with his precious blood. Those who want a Christ without a cross, they want a conqueror, not a dying lamb. They would cry, "Won't you come down from the cross?" We read in the law of Mark 15 and 30. Many desire a good example or a great teacher or a triumphant king. Their gospel is one of works. They despise the gospel that declares we are justified by faith in one who shed his blood on the cross. Those who want neither Christ nor his cross They are untouched by his sorrow, unmoved by his suffering, and unrepentant of their sins that he bore. Never have they examined as did the songwriter John. All my iniquities on him were laid. He nailed them all to the tree. Jesus, the death of my sins, fully paid. He paid the ransom for me. Now we find out, bearing shame and scuffing rude, in my place condemned, he stood. Fill my heart with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Jesus took our place that we might have his peace. Saints and friends and you that are out there in our digital listening audience, we come to the conclusion that God himself will move the stone. And we find out that the two women who sought to anoint the dead body of Jesus are to be complimented for their tender love and regards for the Savior. Yet, as they came near the place of burial, the practical difficulty of moving the heavy stone that sealed his tomb brought them unnecessary anxiety. Their fears was groundless. It had already been moved. So too, we are often needlessly concerned over prospective difficulties that God graciously removed or helps us overcome. Let us exercise great faith in facing possible obstructions on the pathway of duty. We may be sure of the Lord's assistance in such matters. When we press on is in his name and for his glory. Go forward on the pathway of service, undaunted by possible future obstacles. Let your heart be cheered by the certainty that whatever difficult you may face, God will move the stone. But we know that if God doesn't remove an obstacle, he'll help you find a way around it. Hallelujah. And I tell you, I just thank God for dying for my sins. And I know that you that are listening out there in the radio room, thank God for dying for your sins as well. Because if Jesus hadn't never went to the cross, we would not be in existence here today. So I can stand and say boldly that I thank God for dying. I hate that he had such a horrible death to take on, because no one had ever went or could possibly go to the extent that Jesus went. But I thank God today that he loved me, he loved you enough to go to Calvary Cross and die and with nails in his hands, in his feet, a crown of thorns placed upon his head. He was also pierced in his side, where blood and water just gushed out like a flood. And God was just hanging there on the cross and just agony and pain that no one could endure but him. But God didn't get a kick out of going to Calvary Cross. But God, being the obedient son that he was, he said, Lord, it is not my will that I go, but it is the will of my Father. And God sent his only begotten son, Jesus, to die on that old rugged cross for the whole human race. And God loves each and every one of you out there in our listening audience on tonight. He loves you. I don't want you to allow no one or nothing to enter into your mind negative toward God, that he doesn't love you. You might say, well, I did so much wrong. I've robbed. I've stolen from my family and friends, and I've broken cars, and I've broken homes. You know, you just did so many things that you feel like you're unworthy. But God's heroic act of love and kindness paved the way for your sins and my sins. And so there is no sin too big or too small that God's will did not come. Because God, dying on that rugged cross, covered all of our sins. And if you're willing to give God a try, God will come into your life and make your life anew. He'll create in you a new heart. Well, you will have a loving heart, a kind heart, and a heart that wants to serve God for the remainder of your life. You will be just gladly to tell others in your circle that God has changed you. You are a new man. You are a new woman. No, you are a new boy. You are a new girl. God can change you. God can make you brand new. He can make you whole on today. You can stand right where you are and lift your hands toward him and ask the Father. You acknowledge that you're a sinner. Lord, I'm a sinner. And I want you to just forgive me of all of my sins. And you can lift your hands toward him and ask God to come into your life. Be your Lord and Savior, and God will do that. He's a right now God. He's a God of today. He is not a God of tomorrow, but he is a God of today. He is a right now God. God is, so to speak, a Johnny come clean kind of thing. God is a Johnny on the spot kind of thing. God can be anything and everything that we need him to be. I'll tell you, I just thank God for my journey. I thank him for everything, great and small. And I thank him for what he's done. I thank him for what he's intending to do in my life and in the lives of the saints and friends and you that know God, you that don't know God, then pardon your sins today. Is the day of salvation, and you can get to know the Lord, because one thing about it, God is just a whisper prayer away. He is near to those who call upon him. All you got to do is call him. Put a phone call into heaven and tell those angels to get Jesus on the line. God will not put you on three-way. He won't put you on hold. But God will answer on the first ring. Jesus is patiently waiting on you. He's patiently knocking at the door of your heart. How long will you keep Jesus waiting outside? He is waiting for you to allow Him to come in. And once you open up the door and invite Jesus in, your life will be changed. That very minute, that very moment, that very second, that reality, God will change you to a new, improved individual. And I just thank you once again for tuning in tonight on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Senior Pastor Janice Ward, about House Deliverance and Apostle Ministry in the Peninsula Sector of California. And I hope that you will continue to listen and join me each Tuesday at 8:30 tonight. And I hope that you have been infused. I hope that your heart has been inspired to continue to listen. And if you have any comments that you would like to present, we will eagerly await to hear from you. And I just would like to make this observation that Jesus was warned because of these charges. Now Jesus crimes, the Romans would say that Jesus had an alias, and that his alias is the Messiah, claiming to be the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of Peace, etc. And they said that Jesus was a notorious leader of an underground liberation movement. And they are on the hunt for Jesus because they said that these are the charges that was placed against him. And they said that Jesus was practicing medicine, wine making, and food distribution without a license. They also charged Jesus for interfering with businessmen in the temple. They charged God for associating with known criminals, radicals, subversives, prostitutes, and street people. They said that Jesus was given legal counsel without being a member of the bar. Can you imagine that? They also said that Jesus was teaching without a teacher certificate. They also said that Jesus was fishing without a license and taking more than the legal limit. And they caution you that he has a group of disreputable followers known as the apostles. And he changes men into children of God and filled, hallelujah, and filled, thank you, Jesus, their heart with love and kindness and understanding. And for you finding Jesus, your reward is salvation, associated fellowship with the Master of the Universe. He will give you a full pardon from your personal crime and sin. And he will also give you eternal life. So you're asking everyone to be aware that Jesus is on the loose. His teachings are extremely effective on children and the young at heart. This man was sentenced to death, but after the sentence he was carried out, he escaped, and he is still at large. I come to serve you notice that Jesus is alive, hallelujah, and well. And you can find Jesus if you would like to know his last known location of address.
You know, everybody goes,
this is where you can find Jesus.
But ain't it good to
he lives in a land called Over Yonder. In the rolling hills of glory, he's sitting upon his hope and pray that this program has been a blessing to you and yours. And I would like for you to listen back in on next week at 8:30 tonight. And until we meet again, you go with God as God goes in you. Bye for now. It's